Empower Radio presents The Butterfly Moment. It's the classic quantum leap in personal growth. Now here are your hosts for The Butterfly Moment, John Schulter and Carrie Hall on Empower Radio.
Good morning, Vietnam.
I don't know where that came from.
I always wanted to say that. Remember that Robin Williams movie?
Yep.
Just a little bit of wish fulfillment there. Good morning and welcome to The Butterfly Moment. My favorite time of the week, and this is the best job in the world. Right, Carrie?
That's right.
My name is John Schulter.
And I'm Carrie Hall.
And it's the show that talks to extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. It's the show that believes in the butterfly moment. That time when the caterpillar leaves the cocoon and realizes that it's much more than it thought. That it's one of the most beautiful creatures on earth, insects on earth. And it can fly. And so, like all of our sessions, I start out with the question, what would you do if you knew that you could not fail? What would it be like to have a life with more passion, power, and purpose? Where is your butterfly moment? Carrie and I are life coaches, and we'd love to give you a free session, 55 minutes, totally focused on you. Inquiring as to what your hopes and dreams are, maybe what is standing in your way, and what strategies there are for you to get there.
And if you'd like to contact John or myself, you can contact us through empowerradio.com, or you can call us direct at 586-997-4357 or butterflycoach.com.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, as we go through life, there's going to be different teachers and there's going to be different coaches that affect us in different ways. I want to give a shout out to somebody who has raised a question that was very important to me. And it's Jacob, Carrie.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one, John.
Jacob, who is my niece's little boy. And does that make a grand...
I don't know if it's a great nephew or a grandnephew.
Great something.
Yeah, Jacob is a great guy.
Yeah, and he's terrific. And his mother was saying again and again, Jacob, I've had enough, which I always heard when I was growing up.
Yeah, that's enough.
And so finally, Jacob looked up and said, Mom, what's enough? So I posed that question to you, our radio listeners. What is enough in your life? What is enough that's going to make you happy? What is enough that's going to make you stress-free? What is enough going to make you secure? It's a good question to ask, and it's a time for a little bit of self-reflection. Well, today is our time for question and answer. And so, Carrie, you know, what we do is we get emails in and we try to align a topic that we feel that we can answer and talk to our audience and kind of like engage in a conversation, engage in a dialogue where, you know, we can answer what we think to be certain questions that
shed
are out
there. Shed a little bit of light on a subject.
Okay, sure.
It seems like today our email is Sweet Surrender. That's what we call it. But at any rate, it is from Nancy. And Nancy wants to know about the whole concept of surrender, which can be, she says, is totally confused about the concept of surrender. She said, how can I meet all of my life challenges if I give up? Isn't this a sign of weakness? What gives? And that's from Nancy G. Nancy, thank you.
Yes. I'm so happy that she brought up this topic because I think it really is in something important. I think that it's a tool that you can have in your life toolbox that can really allow you to engage and to be empowered. I think it's one of the most powerful concepts that are out there.
It doesn't have to mean giving in or giving up. It can be far from that. Definition. It can be, as John always says, a realignment of energies and a redisposition of power. Distribution of power.
Let me read to you something that one of our favorite lecturers Marianne Williamson. We used to go see her back in California, what, 15 years ago?
Or no, 20 years it was ago? A lot longer than that. It was $5 on a Sunday night in a little tiny church in Santa Monica with a handful of people.
Yeah. And Marianne Williamson, her kind of platform for her ministry, I think, is The Course in Miracles. And she is, her books are, in a lot of ways, interpretations of that in most of her lectures. And I would really recommend The Course in Miracles to anyone who wanted some, to shake up their consciousness, to shake up their thinking, and really give a new perspective. Anyway, this is what Marianne Williamson has to say about surrender. Something amazing happens when we surrender and just love. We melt into another world, a realm of power already within us. The world changes when we change. The world softens when we soften. The world loves when we choose to love the world. I love that quote. And I think it really says a lot of about surrendering to our circumstance, surrendering to the moment, and allowing whatever is to be. And,
you know, historically, John, surrender has kind of figured largely in different religions of the world. I know in Christianity, the concept of surrender in a spiritual way means to give up your own will and subject to another will, perhaps like, it's not so much a submission, but a willful acceptance to another force. So in Christianity, I know they talk a lot about dying to self and emptying of self so that you can allow Christ to live through you. And it allows Christ to take our place. In fact, even the traditional Christian flag is a white field with a red Latin cross inside. And that white flag has always traditionally been linked to surrender.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about the concept of surrender is that it, by its very nature, it's counterintuitive. It's kind of like jumbo shrimp. What are we talking about? It seems like, you know, is it one thing or is it an hour? How can it be something empowering if you're giving up or if you're stepping back?
How can it be empowering?
Yeah. Well, let me give you something that Eckhart Tolle, which is another guy who is one of my favorites, has to say about surrender. And he says this: always say yes to the present moment. What could be more futile, more insane, more to create inner resistance to what already is? What could be more insane than opposing life itself, which now and always is now? Surrender to what is. Say yes to life and see how life suddenly starts working for you rather than against you. So it has that kind of counterintuitive pull.
A lot of people are, I think, not in tune with the surrendering because it means like giving up your ego. And we are all such, you know, ego-based people, a lot of us. But I think what Eckhart is saying, that surrender has incredible power.
One of the
kind
things...
Kind of letting go, letting God, letting go, just with acceptance and
let
surrender.
Let go and let God. Yeah, it's the typical. And we'll talk about the 12-step program in just a minute. But I had written an article for my magazine, who is now IDIS. And it was also on the topic of surrender. And I talked about this novelty toy that I had when I was a kid. When you go to a carnival way back then, that's when we still had carnivals. One of the prizes for, you know, the little competitions where you try to hit down pins and all that kind of stuff was something called Chinese handcuffs. And they were endlessly fascinating to a young boy and a young 12-year-old boy. And what they were, if you can picture this or if you haven't seen them before, they're a tube of bamboo that is weaved together. And when you put two of your index fingers in it, it acts kind of like handcuffs, because the makers of them knew that people would try to pull their fingers out. And the more you pull, the more the bamboo braiding tightens on your fingers. And in effect, you're locked into handcuffs. However, if you would just cease the resistance and gradually push in, you could get out easily. That, in my mind, is kind of the concept of surrender, the counterintuitive nature to it, where instead of pulling, push in your life and see what happens.
So if you let go of the struggle, let go of the panic, and kind of relax,
then you have a new opportunity to look at whatever problem that you're dealing with in a different way.
Interesting. You know, just to continue a little bit on a historical perspective, in the religion of Islam, they have very much a concept of surrender. In fact, one of the meanings of the word Islam is surrender. I did not know that. I thought that was very interesting. In Islam, they talk about surrendering or submitting your will to God. And it basically teaches that all of your responsibilities of life are removed and replaced with the singular aim of living your life in accordance with God's will. So technically, every action in a Muslim's life should theoretically be for the sake of God.
Wow.
So that's surrendering.
Mm. You know,
well,
earlier I had mentioned the 12-step program, which I'm a big fan of because I've seen it help a lot of people. And in fact, a kind of mentor of mine, Jack Boland at the Church of the Day, had formulated a whole program called the Mastermind System based upon the 12-step program. The theory being that if the 12-step program, which has been massively on a worldwide basis effective in tempering or curing addictions, that if it could work in that circumstance, it could work in other areas of your life. And a big part of Jack Boland's system of the 12-step program was surrender. The 12-step program, the first step is an admission, admitting that we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. This is so effective because it creates in the individuals a relinquishment of the ego, this whole idea that I can cure myself, that I can do the impossible, which is usually the thing that has gotten you in trouble in the first place. The second step is coming to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore insanity.
Can restore insanity.
Restore sanity, not insanity. And so what we're doing by this release, by this surrender, instead of giving up, you, in effect, are partnering with the God spiritual presence within you, which many authors say is the unseen forces if you're not a spiritual person.
Right. A little bit more on that historical perspective. John and I were lucky enough probably about 20 years ago to hear Ram Dass speak. Ram Dass is an American spiritual teacher. He wrote the seminal book, Be Here Now, in about 1971, and Ram Dass was born Richard Alpert, I think. He's best known for his association in the 60s with Timothy Leary at Harvard, and of course his travels to India, where he met his teachers. And he said, as a Westerner, the concept of surrender was really not a palatable concept to him because it was all about surrendering your ego. And that meant like giving something up, giving something to someone. It was like a power struggle. But then he said, when he met his guru, I think it was the Maharaji in India, he said he felt absolute joy and he was able to literally turn himself over to learn, to experience. And he said the experience of that quote unquote surrender was not even a surrender at all because it wasn't done begrudgingly. It was as if he came home, he said, to a place where he no longer needed it. And then at that time, he did not leave the temple for 7 months.
Mm.
So he surrendered 7 months of his life before he left the temple.
You know, about 20 years ago, Ram Dass was spiritually my mentor. I read all of his books and listened to all of his tapes. In fact,
your photo with him on your desk.
Right. For a long time. Mm-hmm. And we had an opportunity here in Michigan after we came back from California to see him in... it was like a symposium.
Right, hear him talk.
Yeah, for 2 days. That's where he got the pictures. And unfortunately, he had his own health problems, but he is...
He's still teaching. Right. He just is not traveling. He teaches in Hawaii, and he has a website, Love, Serve, Remember Foundation.
And the interesting thing about Ram Dass is that he was a PhD from Harvard and worked as a psychologist, and he has a lot to say about, you know, that experience. He said that as a psychologist, you would want a person to improve or get better just enough so that he'd be sick enough so that he would have to come back. In other words, that you were actually creating a dependency, creating an addiction, that there was never this cure. And, you know, that's kind of contrary to what he's teaching now, that there can be, like it says in the Course in Miracles, there can be this holy instant that you can mm-hmm. have a cure, in that a mentor or teacher or life coach is actually, the goal is to lose a client. You know, it's kind of very much like being a doctor, where you want someone to get back into their life, unless they want to explore different issues.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there shouldn't be this dependency on your teacher, that your teacher is meant to release, mm-hmm. surrender you into the world, into things.
Now, we have a very special teacher in our life. We've actually had two. One of our teachers was named Shelby, and now we have a beautiful blonde teacher named Bella. And if you can see where I'm going with this, they are both golden retrievers.
And they are very much a spiritual mentality.
Mentors. Well, we do have a point here, folks. We are going to talk about surrender. But I always said that Shelby was my dog. I was her doggy mama, but she was my Dalai Lama. And I feel the same way about Bella.
And the way they do, the way they have their power, and the way they wrap you around their finger, their paw, or whatever, is they are submissive. And instead of barking and biting and all that kind of stuff, what Shelby or Bella will do is they'll go up to a stranger and they will receive some pats on the head and right away go on their back and get a belly rub. It hasn't worked to me very much in court, Carrie, I have to admit, in negotiating. But the point is that submission, in a beautiful way, can be power.
Well, surrendering to what is, and I think surrender a lot to the present moment. I was reading the other day, oh my gosh, the Barefoot Contessa, that I can't think of her name right now, but that's her show, The Barefoot Contessa. She writes cookbooks. And she said, you know, in my life, I don't think I've had a lot of goals. She was working at the White House. And she said, you know, so it's got to be something more interesting than this. Although I think working at the White House would be pretty fascinating. At any rate, she left that job and I think like opened up a specialty shop, like a specialty food store. And to say she knew nothing about it, she said, was an understatement. She knew nothing. But she said all of her interesting things and most interesting things that have happened to her in her life have been kind of not listening to her goals, but just saying yes to the present moment. Yes, I want to open up the shop. And then when she closed that, yes, I want to write cookbooks.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to have my own show. So it's kind of like saying yes to the present moment.
You know, we've talked about the Butterfly Foundation, and Chip, in fact, was on our show, and I'm on
Chip
the board.
Chip and Lisa St. Clair.
Chip and Lisa St. Clair. And I'm in the process of helping to write a curriculum for the at-risk kids. And just this morning, and going through all this kind of stuff, I wanted to find a prayer that could be part of this organization, could represent what we're all about. And I discovered and am going to propose to the board that we use the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. He died in 1971 at the age of 80. And this I think, achieves the balance between affirmative action and release and surrender. And I think everybody knows it, but it's worth repeating. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as a pathway to peace. Now, if we could all get that message, if we could all achieve that balance in our life, that wisdom. I was telling a coaching client the other day, you know, what I think happens when we leave this spiritual place and go to heaven or whatever you want, conceive heaven to be, is that we achieve clarity and that we're able to see maybe for the first time things without the veneer of the ego, the veneer of stress, the veneer of tension, all these things that are, you know, kind of get us off the mark. If we can try to develop that clarity, whether you develop it through books and tapes, I love to work on it with you as a life coach, then you'll find that you'll be making those kind of decisions. And those decisions are really being able to decide, what are some of the things in my life that I can change? And what are the strategies that I can use to allow that strange thing that change to occur? Last week, and I opened up and I talked about that little fly in the windowsill that was knocking its head against the window trying to get outside when 4 feet on the other side was an open window. Oftentimes in life, our strategy is to knock our head against the glass, hoping that we get there. But if we develop clarity, if we develop a serenity, if we surrender and let go of some of this baggage, we're going to be able to see that there's a better way of doing things.
You know, John, I've known people who were diagnosed with cancer, and they said in that moment, that was almost the most peaceful time of their life because they realized that they had to surrender, that they couldn't control things anymore, and that they had to surrender to their present circumstances. And so there was no Chinese handcuffs where they were struggling and panicking and, you know, instead of being able to pull out of it, the frantic pulling kept you in the prison. So I digress, but people have said it was the moment I knew I had to surrender to create a more peaceful life and just to say yes to the present moment and everything that entails.
And so to our listening audience, here's the takeaway. Where in your life do you need to surrender? Where in your life are you trying to sell to people who don't want to buy? Where are you going to find serenity if you don't make those kind of decisions? Because I have things in my life that I won't compromise, but I have to be in the moment if I'm going to do anything. I won't compromise on child abuse. I won't compromise on needless violence. But there are, within that context, things that I cannot change. And for my efforts in fighting that, I need all the energy I can in the path of least resistance. And so as you think of your life, think of those strategies that are either pounding your head against the glass, or because of your ego, you are refusing to surrender to. Because where it's at is the moment experience and surrendering to that moment and feeling it actually to the most.
Thanks, John. I just want to thank our listeners for tuning in, and we love to hear from you, so please keep those questions coming. We'd love to answer them, 586-997-4357 or butterflycoach.com or empowerradio.com.
And so much thanks to Nate, who is...
Yay, Nate.
Here, Dylan is not under the
weather. Dylan.
Yeah, he's filling under the weather. We wish him well, hope him back, and we hope that we get Nate back, too. Maybe they can both come in.
Because Nate's a very funny guy. Thanks.
God bless you all.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.